بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام قال تعالى في قرآن مجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام الصلاة عماد الدين فمن أقامها أقام الدين فمن تركها فقد هدم الدين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله we are on lesson number 29 concerning the wisdom of actions. Firstly, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us for the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. We are discussing how laws are formulated and made and how they come into existence. And we have mentioned that we from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we regard four sources of derivation, that is Qur'an al-Kareem, Sunnat, Ijma, and Qiyas. Concerning the first two, we have deliberated extensively. And in the last lesson, we have been discussing about Ijma. And we gave an example of Ijma, Sanad al-Ijma, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that haram upon you in marriage, for marriage, are your mothers and daughters. And we explain that the mujtahideen have made ijma, and now it is conclusive and absolutely certain, and there is no room for further investigation or discussion, that via this ayat, the paternal, one's paternal grandmother and granddaughters are also haram, and one's maternal grandmother and granddaughters are also haram. Going on further, an example of ijma which has been sourced from the sunnah is the law where it is not permissible to sell an edible item prior to the seller having taken ownership of the goods first. The sanad is ijma for this masala is upon the statement of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever buys edible items cannot sell it until he has taken ownership thereof. Now this is ruling is very clear and apparent from the hadith. But this hadith is khabar wahid. Now we have already under the discussion of hadith explained extensively the definitions of hadiths. Therefore, based on this khabar wahid, there remains a doubt in this ruling. And at the most, it can be a zanni ruling, a conjecture, speculative, non-conclusive, non-absolute ruling. But now there has been ijma on this ruling. So this possible doubt has been removed and the ruling became absolute, has become absolute now. So there was a ruling, but it was being extracted from a khabar wahid. But because ijma has been made on it, It has now become conclusive in nature, it has become finite and concrete and definite, where no shadow of doubt exists. So there is no room for deliberation, discourse. Another example from Qiyas can be found in the law where usury is also found in rice. That is, if rice is exchanged for rice, then credit is haram, and so too is disparity in quantities. A hand-to-hand exchange is necessary for the validity of such a sale, and it is imperative that the quantities, weights of both the rice which is to be exchanged is equal regardless of the quality and type of the rice. If there is credit in the sale or disparity in the quantity on either side, then it will be regarded as usury, hence haram. Now in this law, in this ruling, the sanad of the ijma is qiyas. The explanation of this is as follows. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned six things. These six are gold, silver, wheat, barley, dates, and salt. That if any one of these are exchanged for the same type, then there should be no credit. There should be no credit or disparity in quantities. Otherwise, it will be regarded and considered as interest usury. These six items are already mentioned in the hadith, whereas no mention is made of rice. Those who have reached an ijma on this law have made qiyas based upon these six items and said that rice is also included in this ruling. Had there not been ijma of all the mujtahideen on this ruling, then there will always remain the doubt as to the absolute effectiveness of this ruling. Because qiyas, technically speaking, is dalil zanni, it is a speculative, non-conclusive proof. It is not an absolute proof. Nevertheless, since in some era all the mujtahideen have reached a consensus on this qiyas, therefore this now becomes an absolute proof in the Sharia. There now remains no scope for any mujtahid to differ thereupon. So this is very simple to understand, because it is a law, a rule concerning commodity. First of all, understand, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned six things: gold, silver, wheat, barley, dates, and salt. And he said that when you exchange them, then there should be no disparity in quantities. And a hand-to-hand exchange is necessary for the validity of such a sale. And it is imperative that the quantities of both should be equal, regardless of quality and type. So now, that when rice is not mentioned amongst the six, so the mujtahideen, first of all, process number one, procedure number one, they drew a shari analogy, they made qiyas, and they said that although rice is not mentioned in the six, But rice is also a commodity, wheat is like gold, silver, wheat, barley, dates and salt. So the laws that apply to wheat, barley, dates and salt, gold, silver will also apply to rice. And it's like. So because Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned six, and he gave these six by way of example to make us understand, now the Mujtahidin first of all said rice also comes under that law, that order. That was the first step, first procedure, first level. Secondly, because they made qiyas, and we have stated qiyas is dalil-e-zalni, it is a non-absolute proof. It is not conclusive proof. Thus, when the Mujtahideen now have come to the consensus and they have reached agreement and they have reached unanimity, the rice is also included there. Now that ruling on the rice is just like the gold, silver, wheat, barley, date, salt. And it has become conclusive, finite, definite. No room for doubt, no room for deliberation left. It is now absolute. And this is what we are talking about, the Mujtahideen coming together, because they will not come on error, number one. They will not come on falsehood. They will not come on batil, because the hand of Allah, the mercy of Allah is on them. And also that they are basing their ijma on what has gone by in the Sharia. So the ijma is based upon the Sharia ruling which has gone by. They have just extended it. They have just pulled it, lengthened it, to get another law out of it. Now we have the types of ijma and the levels of ijma. Basically, there are three types of ijma. Ijma e qawli, ijma e amali, and ijma e sukuti. To repeat and then to define them. There are three types of ijma. One is ijma e qawli, then we have got ijma e amali, and then we have got ijma e sukuti. Ijma e qawli is where in any one era, all those who are worthy of making ijma agree unanimously upon a dini masla by way of speech. For example, all the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in agreed to the Khilafat and took bath, pledge of allegiance, at the hands of Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, ijma'i qawli, that means the ijma was made in any one era, of all those who are worthy of making ijma. Remember that if all batil people, irreligious people, erroneous in belief and action, if they gather and they via speech now decide to make ijma, then their ijma will not be taken into consideration. Because first of all, they are irreligious, they are not pious and righteous, and they are not mujtahideen, they are not worthy of making ijma. And the example that has been cited is very good. And in that example, according to Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayh, that's one of the finest examples of qiyas even. Because we know, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed away, and when he had passed away, then in Banu Saqifa Sa'ida, which alhamdulillah you can see up to today, that in Madinatul Munawwara, if you come out of gate number 21, left hand side, go far left, then there is an orchard there. And that orchard is still in existence. There Sahaba Ikram gathered, the Ansar and the Muhajirin gathered. And they were toying with various ideas of who is going to become the ruler of the Muslim empire, because Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed away and preparations of his burial have been made. Now who is going to become the Muslim ruler for this budding empire? The Ansar were saying and deliberating via the Muhajirin that perhaps we should have it on rotation basis. 6 months a Khalifa from the Ansar, 6 months a Khalifa from the Muhajirin. And some were saying, no, it should be from the Ansar, and the virtues of the Ansar were being mentioned. Some were saying, no, it should be from the Muhajirin, and the virtues of the Muhajirin were mentioned. And this deliberation, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala, they came to know of it, so they went there. That is when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala made an historical speech, which was a turning point in history. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that in our Shariat, we have got congregational activities, congregational ibadat. Now see, he is utilizing qiyas. Yeah, he's mentioning it, and when it comes under the discussion of qiyas, we'll mention it again there as a revision. And because this example has got qiyas in it and ijma in it, that's why we are narrating it here in detail. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that in Islam, in Sharia, we have got congregational ibadat of Hajj, of Salat. And we have got these ibadat in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was made the first Amir of Hajj. Instructed by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who was sent as a person to proclaim certain announcements. But the Amir of Hajj, Amir of the first Hajj, was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hazrat Abu Bakr lead the Salat 17 to 18 in his presence under his instruction. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who argued and presented the case that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime he made Hazrat Abu Bakr to lead the Hajj and to lead the Salat, therefore, after the passing away of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we, the Sahaba, the Muslims, should make Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu the Khalifa. Everybody accepted this. And everyone unanimously agreed upon Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the Khalifa. This is ijma'e kawli. Now what happens if someone denies that? Later we will read the text that when you deny the ijma, then you leave the fold of Islam. So this is a beautiful example of qiyas and ijma'e kawli. Ijma'e amali is where in one era all those who are worthy of making ijma agree unanimously upon a dini masla by the way of action. If all those worthy of making ijma regard any action as permissible, then such an action is regarded as permissible by way of ijma. That action which is established by way of ijma is only regarded as being permissible, mustahab or masnoon. It cannot be said to be wajib unless such a reason can be found which could render it wajib. The four sunnat before Zuhr are regarded as sunnat e mu'akkida by virtue of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in practicing upon it with rigidity. Now, here we have got again those worthy of making ijma, and in one era they agree by action, by continuous practice of that action, that action becomes either permissible, mustahab, masnoon, not wajib until there is a proof for it. The example cited is the four sunnat of Zuhr before the Zuhr Salah, the sunnat muakkida. Why? Because Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in, they practiced it with rigidity, like how the Taraweeh Salah 20 rakat. That it came down from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sahaba practiced upon it with rigidity. That's why Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says that concerning the 20 rakat of Taraweeh Salah, sufficient proof is that Sahaba practiced it in Madinatul Munawwara. And because they rigidly practiced it, that means they firmly held on to it. So they must have done it because they saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam do it, and it has become ijma. And when this has become ijma, then it has become ijma amali. Now these two types of ijma, the ijma qawli and ijma amali, are regarded by all fuqaha as being a valid proof in the shariat. Now as far as the third type of ijma, the ijma is sukuti, is where in one era some mujtahideen, not all, some mujtahideen, agree on a certain ruling by way of practice or speech. And this ruling of there becomes well known. But the balance of the mujtahideen in that same period, notwithstanding having the opportunity to reflect and research this ruling, they opt for silence. And they do not openly oppose the ruling. So first of all, we have to understand the definition of it. That in ijma'i sukuti, some mujtahideen, they agree on a certain ruling by way of practice or speech, and this ruling becomes very well known. But other mujtahideen, the remaining mujtahideen of that same era, they have got the opportunity to reflect and ponder and deliberate and research and think. And on this particular masala, they think about it, but they are not conclusive in their decision. They remain silent. But they do not also oppose the ijma'i sukuti of some of the mujtahideen. Here there is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama regarding this type of ijma. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, most of the Hanafi scholars and some of the Shafi scholars accept this type of ijma as being an absolute proof in the sharia. Some ulama ikram give an example that historically speaking, at one stage there was a move to drop down the Green Dome. So the ulama of Indo-Pakistan, the ulama of Dioban, presented as proof that we should not drop the Green Dome down, because they said this is ijma e sukuti, that the mujtahideens who passed and lived and who witnessed and saw the Green Dome did not object to it. And they did not say, bring it down. They accepted it, approved of it, and they did not say, drop down the green dome. So this became Ijma'i Sukuti. Now, alhamdulillah, we have come to the point where there are three types of Ijma: Ijma'i Qawli, Ijma'i Amali, Ijma'i Sukuti. We have got now the levels of Ijma. With regard to the personalities who make Ijma, it is categorized into three levels. Now we are talking about those who make the Ijma. There are three levels of these great personalities. One, the strongest and the highest level and stage of Ijma is that which has been agreed upon by way of speech or practice of Sahaba, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is unanimity of the entire ummah upon this being an absolute proof in the Sharia. So the first level and the highest level, the most strongest level, the perfect level, the best level is the Ijma of the Sahaba. Because who can be better than the Sahaba? They were the chosen companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and the entire ummah, they are unanimous that the Ijma of the Sahaba, that is absolute, and it is an absolute, finite, definite, conclusive proof in the Sharia. The second level is that of the Ijma'i Sukuti of the Sahaba. Although the majority of the Hanafi scholars and other ulama regard this as being part of the absolute proof in the Sharia, nevertheless, the negator of this will not be classified as a kafir, because there exists a difference of opinion in this, it forming part of Sharia by Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and others. That is why I stated that concerning Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he, Sahabas agreed unanimously that he is the first Khalifa of Islam. He is the first rightful Khalifa of Islam. He is the first rightful, worthy, deserving Khalifa of Islam. And there is Ijma, a Qawli on this. And also, if you have to look at it from another angle, is also Ijma'i Sukuti on this. But because there is Ijma'i Qawli on this, a denier of this, like the Rawafis and the Shias, who say that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who is supposed to be first Khalif, and they say, Allah Ta'ala protect us, that Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman usurped the Khilafat from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. All that is hogwash and nonsense, because Sahaba, the best of nations, in the Khayra Qurun, in the best of times, they brought Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu via Ijma'i Qawli, unanimous agreed decision of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, as the first rightful, worthy, deserving Khalifa. So the one who denies that, rejects it, objects against it, will become a kafir. Third level of Ijma is that Ijma which was reached by the fuqaha of an era, the jurisconsults of an era after Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. This is also regarded by the majority as a proof in the Sharia. But it is not absolute, qati, definite, finite proof. The reason for this is that they still exist. Those who do not accept the Ijma of anyone else other than the Sahaba as a proof of the Sharia. And because of this difference in opinion, they will not be regarded as an absolute proof. The crux is, one who negates such an Ijma as being a proof in Sharia will not be classified as a kafir. For example, if the four imams, they agreed upon a ruling, a masala, but if other mujtahideen differed, and someone does not accept the ijma of the illustrious imams, then that person will not be classified as a kafir. Why? Because there was a difference sort of opinion on a very high level. And we cannot even fathom and understand and comprehend that level. There exists one other type of ijma after those mentioned above. This is where the ijma of a certain era, of a certain period, of a certain time is transmitted to the following, either as tawatur, continuous, or khabar wahid. There will be a difference in ruling of each of these. So inshallah, alhamdulillah, we have covered in this lesson various things, various important things, examples of sanad ijma. Then we have mentioned the types of ijma, ijma-e qawli, ijma-e amali, ijma-e sukuti. We have defined them, classified them, given the examples. And then we have mentioned the levels of ijma according to the personalities, that means the sahaba. Then after the sahaba, ijma-e sukuti of the sahaba. And then after that, the third level, that after the sahaba, then the mujtahideen making ijma, and concerning all of them, the rulings have been stipulated. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand the simple, perfect, easy deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.